You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio Broadcast. On RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to Sunday Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Tom Lackabara Stewart. This is Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, with my co-host, Chris Switzer, my protege. This guy's awesome. You got to check out his channel on YouTube, The Freedom Ministry.
Howdy.
Yeah, you'll recognize that little RTR logo that he's using. We're putting together a team. We have Rachel and we have a couple other people that are going to be writing for our blog. I'm pretty excited about that. But I have to take a step back here and share with you guys some rather unpleasant news. Casey Massey, who is a good friend of mine, in Texas militia, he was found with a gunshot to the head. They ruled it. He was a fugitive. He was on the run from the federal government because he was doing border operations down there. And you know, there you have it. They're saying it's a suicide, but they're still investigating it. Out of respect for the family, I'm not going to say a whole lot more, but I recorded a song for him. I'd like to play it for you this morning on Sunday. And if all of you out there, just say a prayer for Casey. He was true grit. Wanted to help his country. So anyway, this is for Casey.
It's for my boy Casey. Rest in peace, brother. I'll see you on the other side.
All that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied.
Wonderful friend, and I tell you what, he knew more about the Constitution, he knew more about this republic than most law enforcement officers. The fact that I want people to think about something. Where does Border Patrol get their authority to do their job? The answer to that, of course, is we the people. We the people delegate that authority to them. Now let me ask you a question. If this is truly a free republic, if we really did win the revolution and we weren't infiltrated from within to completely upturn the apple cart, if that's the case, how is it that we cannot do what we empower them to do? They get their authority from us. So it's like your boss giving you a task and you might feel like doing it, but then you turn around and lock him up. Does that make any sense? Doesn't make any sense to me. Casey was at working that border with his friends. And I tell you, they were effective. And the way he looked at it was, is okay, we have a problem. And the problem has a solution. It has a solution. Somebody's got to do the job. That was that Amen. Simple. That, simple as that. Now, Virginia, you know, it's not just the federal government that is infringing upon our rights, but now the birthplace of the Second Amendment, Virginia, I think it was James Madison, wasn't it? Wrote it. Mm. What do you think James Madison would say today if to the Virginia governor? Oh, my Lord. I think
he'd see them as enemies on domestic land.
You know? I think that we domestic do have enemy. An obligation. Right. We have an obligation, too. What does the Declaration of Independence say about when a government becomes destructive to the means by which it was created? It's the right and duty of the people to, you know? I mean,
overthrow that tyrannical government. That's literally what the founders said. That's
exactly.
That's what they told us to do.
So please tell me. Now, I can understand a government stopping another ideology or another an overthrow, but the overthrow we're talking about is to restore, at least try to restore, some sanity and original principles. Now, some people say, "Well, you know, the Constitution is a living, breathing document." Look, I'm about sick of government in and of itself. Now, once you realize that government, the word government, governe and mentis, means literally to control the mind of the masses. That is what the word means. And they tell you, here's another thing, you know, what is that maxim of law? Your silence is your consent, right? Well, they're using a word. Have you ever bothered? Have you, anybody out there listening, have you ever bothered to look into the word government? I remember the first time it really clicked.
That's an interesting one, Tom.
Yes. I remember the first time it clicked for me. It was like, do you realize that people that are standing here saying, we need to elect this person to government to mind control us? That's exactly what they're saying. We have to elect this person so he can mind control us. I mean, really think about that, man. That's just like, I think that's pretty profound.
It's literally people conceding to the fact that they cannot do anything for themselves, and they've literally given that authority to someone else. Here, Father, take care of me. Daddy State, please, I can't do it.
Yeah, but
I'm irresponsible.
But with Mom and Dad, you don't give them the authority, right?
No.
And in that situation, they kind of give you the authority. So it's a good example, a good analogy, but I'm a grown man. I reject all of that. It's insane. It's just really insane. Who wants to be ruled? Do you want rulers? I sure don't. I really don't. They haven't done very well.
I think
well.
We're all about sick of rulers by now. Even the you know, Demtards are sick of rulers.
They make everything worse. Look at the Parkland situation, right? You hear Trump with, we'll take the guns first, worry about due process. And now I hear people coming back. Oh, he was talking about that crazy person. I said, let me tell you something. Once you give the government a fraction of an inch, you will have 20 miles in no time. 1,000 in less than that. And another, you get the point. It doesn't matter. All of the feel-good, do-good reasons that sell people, oh, that sounds wonderful. I watched a lady at one of these rallies look into the camera. I mean, we're living in the days of idiocracy. We have to be. Looking in the camera and says, do you believe that some of these pro-gunners, they believe that you have the right to kill somebody that comes into your home and robs you, or to, you know, breaking and entering? Like,
should we just give him a cookie and tell him to, you know, settle down?
Oh, that's what you said. She said, well, if he went to court, the judge wouldn't sentence him to death. Well, no, if he made it out the other side, I'd consider himself to be very lucky that he lived.
Exactly. Because what about the part that, you know, you're not guaranteed your life at the end?
Oh, you know, it's even funnier when you get into places like where I live. It takes takes the sheriff's department some like 30, 35 minutes, maybe more, to get to me. Right? So everybody,
they're a glorified cleanup.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have enough deputies to cover this county. They really don't. And those are the places that are a little further off into the desert or tucked into the mountains or whatever. And it takes a little while. So, I mean, they have no duty or obligation to protect us. And, oh, by the way, still hiring low IQs. They've been doing that since, they've been doing that for at least 20 years that we know of. So now I want you to think about this for a second. New York City, I think this is where it popped. A man sued the NYPD because he didn't get a job when he scored higher than everyone else. Well, they explained to him, that's why you didn't get the job. You're overqualified. Your IQ is too high. You'll probably get bored with the job, and we'll lose our money if you go on to something else. If you get bored with it, that's the reason they get. They put the lethal force in the hands of these people, and we wonder why we're having problems all over the country. And now we find out they're hiring low IQs. Now think about that going back to around 2000. I remember reading a story on it then. So they knew about it at least that far back. So think about now how many of those police from 2000 came up through the ranks and either became detectives or detective sergeants or chiefs. Or now you have the idiots running the idiots, and they're order followers. They don't know how many of these people have read the Constitution, let alone understand it. If they did, that Virginia governor would be arrested. He would be arrested. So now there's a Virginia county that has passed a resolution placing emphasis on the citizens' rights to form a militia and disavowing gun control measures expected to pass through the state legislature next year. The Board of Supervisors in Tazewell County approved on December 3rd two resolutions, according to local television station WJHL. The first resolution declared the county a Second Amendment sanctuary, mirroring an effort displayed by several other local municipalities fearful of strict gun control measures that could be handed down from the democratically controlled state government in Richmond. That amended says that the county would not devote county funds to any effort that would infringe upon citizens' Second Amendment rights. Well, I'm glad that you won't spend any money on it. Well, we got that out of the way. Now, what are you willing to do about it? And you don't need a sanctuary. Here's the drives me nuts. Now, there's another place that they're trying to pass a law. It's a Second Amendment Preservation Act. I ask you, if the first supreme law of the land doesn't work, what is a secondary law to back up the one that they're not paying any attention to going to do? This is authoritarianism. This is the cult of government that is in people's brains. I saw like a couple hundred people all milling around. They were all came together to because they wanted to persuade their representatives. They called them in the news report leaders. They're not leaders. They're supposed to be representatives. But they're there to you know, see what they can do about passing a, you know, a sanctuary something or other with them. They're going about it all wrong, and this is why the federal and state governments are now are being able to run roughshod over the people, is because these people are so dumbed down they don't even know what it is they're saying. I don't want a sanctuary, no more than I want the Democrats to have an illegal immigration sanctuary cities, and we don't need a sanctuary. The 14th Amendment doesn't cover anchor babies. It was never lawfully ratified anyway, but, you know, going down that rabbit hole, you guys know where I am on that. Aside from all of that, by their own rules, shall not be infringed. Those were the chains to bind them down. Remember, that was what it was supposed to be about. Chains to bind them down, because our founders knew that government was inherently evil. So we shall chain it with the Bill of Rights. That's what they did. They chained it with the Bill of Rights. If you read Mercy Otis Warren, one of our founding mothers, amazing, amazing woman. If you read their observations on the Constitution, you'll see really cool stuff right there. She thought that it was just an authoritarian move, a push for centralized power, which she was right. Now we have a Charlotte Iserbeat. Oh God, I didn't have that clip ready for you guys today, but my old channel got dismantled, so I'm probably going to have to take the interview I did with her and put it up on the new channel. But she talks about the Sovietization of the class of the classrooms. Okay,
Bolshevism.
Yes, and she worked under Department of Education under Ronald Reagan, Red Ronnie, by the way. I'm very much right. I know we have really fond memories of being propagandized. Ronald Reagan instituted gun control. Yes, who instituted gun control. He did it very – he was slick, though. He wasn't – Donald Trump is like a baseball bat. Ronald Reagan, he was slick. Yes. He was cool. Yes. He was
the crude instrument is Trump.
Yeah, he was the Gipper, man. So, I mean, everybody just – especially from his era, just – they. Well, anyway, you know. But they call him Red Ronnie for a reason. Gun control, all that other stuff. There's a lot more to it than that. Trust me, we'll go into it another day. I used to like him.
Before we get off subject, Tom, also, I just want to suggest to our listeners to please check out Lysander Spooner if you're interested in anything to do with the Constitution and what that document actually represents. Because that man was, you know, light years ahead of his time.
Lysander Spooner, yes, he was. Ryan Bundy quotes Lysander Spooner quite often. I was shocked when I heard that because, you know, up until that point, aside from the RBN audience here and there, I haven't heard anybody even mention him. And really, awesome, awesome stuff. He thought government was just complete horse doggle anyway. He always did.
Yeah. Control, yeah, just like it is.
Let's see. What do we have?
And it's not like they're lying to us. I mean, in Black's Law Dictionary, Tom, the verb govern literally means, I'll read it verbatim, it's very short. Govern is a verb of a precedent to control a point in issue. Period. That's it. The Smith case will govern the outcome of the appeal. So govern is to control. We want to be controlled. Okay. It's real intuitive.
Yeah, really. I mean, think about this. We've just gotten out of the revolution. We just, logistically at least, beat the British. Then these guys come together and they put together a very powerful central government. I don't know about you. But it is what it is. I don't think they needed it. I maybe they did. No, they didn't need it. You know, I go round about this. I kind of feel torn because. Brian Young, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Young of High Impact Flicks is on the ground in Virginia. I'm going to be in touch with him, and we'll bring you updates of what's going on there. But I tell you, I think it's time to stand and deliver. Be right back.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, crossed the sea of tears, with no provisions, but in all the places, Lord, the straits of fear. Oh,
Public Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RTR Truth Media. I'm Tom Lacovara Stewart, your host, with Chris Switzer. Hello. See that correctly? Are you there?
We have Kevin holding in West Virginia, I think. Kevin.
We do. Kevin in West Virginia. All right. Hang on one second. I want to shoot this over to the producer before I open this up. Sorry about that. I should have been ready. There you go. Have that. If you could pull that up. And let me know when you have it up. Kevin in West Virginia, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. You guys were talking about Virginia, and I wanted to make a couple comments about Virginia. I'm glad to see people going, but at the same time, I feel like this is a recipe for disaster. Antifa is showing up and is going to try, I guess they're going to be peaceful, and I've never seen them to be peaceful anytime they've ever assembled anywhere, but are joining the Second
guns,
Amendment.
They brought baths, bottles, all kinds of things. They've been caught with guns and knives.
Oh, so, oh yeah. I mean,
yeah, they'll champion the cause of disarming everybody normal because they don't give a damn about the law. They want a revolution. They want a communist revolution. Morons.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just see, man, I don't know about you guys, but I got a real sick feeling about this. I mean, I feel like there could be, you know, some type of false flag, you know, provocateurs. There's going to be snipers on the building.
I felt that about the Bundy Ranch, but you know what? I went. And I felt that about the Oregon standoff, but I went. And what we need to do is we need intelligent, level-headed people to sit back and watch, look, and report any kind of activity that might be strange or gaslighting type of things. And if you do that, we caught quite a few people at the Bundy Ranch and in Oregon, and we stopped them from doing probably what would have been catastrophic damage. So yes, I do believe you're right. I do believe, and it may be the police. The way they have been trained now, you have to understand, under the Department of Homeland Security was Deputy Director Michael Chertoff. He hired one Marcus Wolf to consult when they were putting Homeland Security together. Marcus Wolf is the former head of the East German Stasi. Mm-hmm. And I assure you that the tactics that they would employ with the Stasi, with any kind of political rally or something, they would infiltrate and they would gaslight and they would cause problems that needed more and more government solutions. So it's the same thing. I with this here in Virginia, I'm expecting the same thing. By the way, for those of you that are going on the 20th, that's tomorrow. You got to understand that a lot of these people, this is the first time that they've been in this situation where it's been this tense. It's very stressful. The Virginia governor, of course, declared a state of emergency, and we're going to roll that clip in just a few minutes because I have a couple comments about that. But they used to be able to carry on the grounds of the Capitol. Well, now they have not only are they going to disarm everyone, but they're going to use their own force, their own armed force, to prevent people from exercising their God-given rights. Now, one of the things, my pet peeve, folks, please don't come at me with constitutional rights. There is no such thing as a constitutional right. I'm so sick of hearing that.
Thank you, Tom.
It should have been called the Bill of Restrictions, because really it's every one of them is restriction on government. Anyway, we still have Kevin. Kevin, you want to say anything before you move on?
Yeah, I hope, you know, everybody who's going, I'm glad to see everybody go, but here's please police the ranks, your own ranks. Please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Because the first time well said, a weapon gets brandished or they, you know, somebody pulls a gun out or something, and like you said, the police, I mean, they're already coming down in riot gear. They're already gearing up for a fight. I mean, to me, that's not a de-escalation.
They're
going to
be loaded from there.
You're
right.
Yeah, well, these guys are they're not the same. They're not cut from the same cloth as my father was. My father was a Democrat, but my father believed it was a diehard believer. The Constitution is as it is. It says what it says. Justice Antonin Scalia used to say, you know, they say that the Constitution is a living, breathing document that I wish would die. He didn't mean the Constitution die. What he meant was that people keep trying to reinterpret, reinvent, redefine words like well-regulated. They need regulations. No, that's not what it meant. It meant you knew how to fire it properly, that you kept it in working order. It's like well-regimented. It was a common phraseology at the time. You can't apply modern speak to a document that's 200 years old. Some of them say, well, I have no problem with the Second Amendment. You can have a musket. Yeah, well, only problem with that is that these people, again, are ignorant of history. If they think that the musket was the only thing that we, the people, were allowed to own, we were allowed to own cannon. Yep. And blunderbusses. Yep. You ever see a blunderbuss? A blunderbuss is like it looks like a combination between a horn and a rifle. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get hit by it because it can take about five people out easily. Easily, maybe more.
Yeah. Whole midsection out.
Yeah, not only not only can you add a shot in there, you can put nails, glass, you know, pretty much anything in a blunderbuss.
Anything. You know, rocks. Yep.
But there that's all I had.
Rebellion. There were judges getting cannons pointed at their houses, and that's when shit started getting real. Excuse my language. The judges were getting cannons turned on them from the Patriots returning home from fighting, realizing that their lands were taken by these speculators and these politicians and these crooks who were making the laws, meanwhile trying to take their wives while they're out fighting for the freedom they come home to find is missing. Unbelievable.
Sounds
that
what
happened
like
in the 1700s.
Sounds like what the Bolsheviks did to Palestine.
Yeah. But that's all I have. That's all I wanted to say to you.
Well, no, thank you for your call, Kevin. And we're going to get to you. Richard, hang on in Washington. I want to roll this. Do we have time to roll this minute clip from this governor? Yeah, go ahead and roll it.
We're seeing threats of violence. We're seeing threats of armed confrontation and assault on our Capitol. But we have received credible intelligence from our law enforcement agencies that there are groups with malicious plans for the rally that is planned for Monday. This includes out-of-state militia groups and hate groups planning to travel from across the country to disrupt our democratic process with acts of violence. They're not coming to peacefully protest. They're coming to intimidate and to cause harm. State intelligence analysts have identified threats and violent rhetoric similar to what has been seen before other major events such as Charlottesville. Let me be clear.
State intelligence.
These are considered credible, serious threats by our law enforcement agencies. This intelligence comes from mainstream channels, both offline and online, such as alternative dark web channels used by violent groups and white nationalists from outside Virginia. But no one wants another incident like the one we saw in Charlottesville in 2017. We will not allow that mayhem and violence to happen here.
Oh, well, I'm glad he's not going to let the melee and violence happen there as he's literally committing treason. But now I hear that this went to their Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court backed these gun control measures. How any judge, I don't care if you're liberal or conservative, how any judge can interpret shall not be infringed and somehow believe that any of these measures can be okay. I tell you what, makes me sick. Virginia Supreme Court, let's see. You know what? We need to get to our other caller. Chris, you want to handle that, and I'll pull this up.
Yeah, no problem. Let's see who we have. Who do we have holding here? I apologize. I should have the chat. Hold up. That's here right. We have, I believe, Richard in Washington.
Yes, am I on now?
We have Richard still?
Yes, yeah, he's here.
Yes. Okay, one thing that I'm really good, and I appreciate the program. It's been excellent so far, especially the comments during that quote-unquote speech by the governor. but what I'd like to present is the fact that we've got to be really accurate in describing what the reality of the present is. And what I would like to point out is there are no more governments. There are only corporations. Okay, yes. Corporations came from the eleemosynaries of the Pope and the Church, and we are still under the Church, as well as other people of power and money. And because of that, they've made everything a corporation, and the people that are head of these corporations, the governor isn't the governor of the state of Virginia. He's a corporate officer of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the federal government is not of the old school. It is now a major corporation, one of them in Puerto Rico, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a whole background here of how this whole thing has been skewed by using the words from the past to present the future, but it has no definition. I mean, this is what 1984 told us, that if we believe what we're being told, everything we're being told is just the opposite. And yep. the major thing that we've got to realize that we, because of the birth certificate, are corporate employees. We have to yep. follow the rules of the corporation as the corporations lay them down until we give up our security of being a corporate citizen. And that can only be done by changing your citizenship to being a true state citizen, and then we'll be of the people and not a corporate entity. So I'll pause there.
I'm with you. I'm with you on all that.
Federal plantation.
I and several other people, we've been researching this. You know, as well, you probably know, for a very long time. I used the 14th Amendment to illustrate how they became a gangster government. Because when you implement, and this is a lot of people get so confused on this 14th Amendment, think it's all about slavery and setting them free. And oh, I assure you, it's nothing of the sort. Abraham Lincoln couldn't have given a damn about the slaves. He wanted to send them back to Africa or South America. He wanted to get rid of them. Didn't think that they could mix, whatever. So all these this propaganda now that's coming forward, I certainly do not condone slavery of any kind. But all they did was they convert one type of slave into a bigger type of slave, more people all over the place. That's what they did with this merger of this 14th Amendment thing. So, I mean, it was really when communism came to America. It was with the Civil War. Marx was in touch with Lincoln. Marx loved Lincoln. He was just tickled pink. Mm. Tickled pink with him.
Mm-hmm.
And from then...
There's books on Lincoln's Marxists. I own them. Very good
yes,
books on it.
Yes, yes. And very much so. Praised him for freeing the working man. And, like, look, slavery needed to die out anyway. And they were talking about that... In 1789, they were kicking that around. Should have been probably done sooner. Probably would have lasted longer if it had been done peacefully. But all throughout Europe, slavery was kind of abolished by peaceful processes. There wasn't bloodshed, brother against brother, cousin against cousin, north against south. Every time a war pops up, man, you got to know at this point. Listen to Smedley Butler, Major General Smedley Butler. He had it right. War is a racket, and they use it to achieve agendas. And the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, is very deep. I'm surprised people that talk about it they don't come along and call. Yeah, you hear Bernie Sanders, the Project Veritas caught them talking about extermination. You got that? Do me a favor and find that clip too. That'd be great. They caught him red-handed talking about, you know, having to exterminate people. These people in private, they'll say a lot of things. They'll speak the truth, more of the truth. When they get out in public, oh, they're a little goody-goody. Nope. We just want to help people, just socialists.
Yeah, you're very right, Tom. And this one could even argue that the war between the North and, you know, the War of Reconstruction, as I call it, can be considered the first world war. Yeah, the War of Aggression. It could be considered the First World War. It was backed by foreign nations on both sides. This was not a just a domestic civil war as it's been, you know, pronounced in official history. Nothing is as it seems. There is always, you know, the real revisionist history that can be, sourced out and figured out if you really want to find it out. It's there.
And if you notice with all the history books I've read on the Civil War that have been written by the mainstream, it starts out with a premise. Now, and those main premises are what we all have been taught growing up. You know, I said this a couple times. I thought it was sad to drive through Camden, New Jersey, and pass a high school named Abraham Lincoln High School. And mostly minority kids coming in and out of that. I just think it's kind of sick.
Yep.
It's sick because they're pimping Lincoln's
insult to injury.
Yeah, they're telling a lie of who the man really was, and to top it off, these kids are to realize if they understood that everything is so upside down, literally nothing that you have learned is true. I mean, that is absolutely true. Nothing that you've learned is true.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? I think it was Plato that said, "Strange days these are, where men and women and children are taught false heads in school, and the one who dares at once to speak the truth is called a lunatic and a fool.
Yep. And you brought up this earlier, Charlotte Iserby. She writes yes. profoundly on the education oh, yeah. system today, dumbing down our education. I own her books. They're phenomenal.
I'll give her number after the broadcast. Give her a call.
Absolutely.
She would absolutely love to hear from RTR. We talked for hours and hours before and after we did the interview.
Yeah, we follow each other on Twitter, but I'll reach out to her.
She's amazing. She's really amazing. She has a wonderful assistant who's probably who you're talking to. But, you know, this is something that she illustrated. The neoconservatives and the Heritage Foundation and all of that, all poisoned. All poisoned. Yeah. They're not conservatives. They're conservative-flavored Bolsheviks. That's what they are. Conservative-flavored Soviets, whatever you want to call them. But here's a real kick in the head for people to really try and get their mind around. There was a KGB defector, Anatoly, what guy was his name? Anatoly. And he said that he predicted the collapse of the Soviet Union, and he said it's all a ruse. It's all a ruse. It is just to disarm the Western nations, to make them think that communism is over, their big evil thing is over. But this is what they were so brilliantly did. It's evil, but it's brilliant. Through the state of Israel, a lot of these people used Jewish identity. A lot of these communists used their Jewish identity. Now, this is not a castigation of every Jew everywhere, but these Bolsheviks, they were kind of like... God, it really reminds me of the book of Revelations where it says those who call themselves Jews who are not, because not only are they Jews, but then they're also atheists, but they still believe that they're supreme. It's just really, really
weird.
And
they never assimilate. Right? That's the diaspora. They never assimilate.
Right. So look at Chertoff. And I anybody out there, look at Deputy Director Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security, parents, or history. Go down that rabbit hole for me. See what you find. So here we have a Russian, my opinion, he was a communist, but supposedly a neoconservative. So I'm just curious. What conservative, in their right or wrong mind, would hire a former head of the East German Soviet Stasi to build our federal law enforcement agency that fuses all this information from military
I bet you police, I know where he came states. From as well. The program.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Nativ is actually probably involved. I have an article pulled up. There's no coincidence here, Tom. This was just on my screen from last night, actually. Israel to lure Soviet Jews from Germany is the article. It's from the
I saw it.
An Israeli intelligence organization is to send its agents to Germany to try to persuade tens of thousands of Jews from the former Soviet Union to settle in Israel. Representatives of the organization Nativ are soon to operate in Germany on the approval of the Israeli government to counter the dangerous assimilation of former Soviet Jews in Germany, according to the wording of a decision recently passed by the cabinet of the Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, and that's from November 2007. Okay.
Yep.
Am I still on the air?
Sure you are. You want to chime in? Go ahead.
Yeah, we definitely got to get back to factual information. Our civilization started in year one, basically, and we're a continuation of that. Like Rome in the year one, they started out as a constitutional republic and became a democracy and tried to enslave all the people. Basically, this is being repeated in our quote-unquote situation. And we have to understand... That these people that are ruling us have nothing to do with quote unquote the government. They have to do with the corporations, and they're under corporate control. If they're under corporate control, you can't refer to them in any semblance of quote unquote their government. They're in charge. This is all a play, a reality program that's being fostered on us.
Yes,
and taking away our rights. And we've got to get our minds out of this reality show. Most of the founding fathers were deists. The definition of a deist is he's an atheist that believed God stepped out of the picture after the creation, and we're on our own. We have to take this back. We have to get out of the corporation. We have to essentially fight for the reestablishment of the truth of the words that we use. And if we don't do that, basically we're going to be going around and around in circles while these people with the money and the power control us lockstep and lead us around by our nose and definitely keep us confused by giving us quote-unquote history that has no reality to the present.
Yep, everybody's living in Plato's cave.
There you go. Exactly. And most of what I believe,
yeah.
And this is just my opinion, I believe the New Testament is the work of Plato. Essentially, what they did is they took old stories, and you can check this out by checking into it. There's several books, basically Caesar's Messiah, Creating Christ, whatever. This is just a psyop.
No.
The New Testament is a psyop to
control us to believe
that we're supposed to follow the government, turn the other cheek, be pacifist.
But check this out. But that's not all it says. You sell your cloak and purchase a sword. What it was teaching people is in your everyday life and in fighting back against the system, one must hold themselves to be peaceful. You'll be listened to more. But it doesn't tell you to be benign. It doesn't tell you not to protect. It doesn't tell you not to defend. As a matter of fact, there's quite a few places that it does. If you recall, in the garden, the apostles, one of the apostles, pulled his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. Now, here's where I think that you might understand where I'm coming from with this. The Bible is a group of stories that are allegories. It doesn't mean the literal interpretation of what you're reading absolutely happened exactly the way it said. Jesus, I believe, is the historical figure. Jesus came along and he basically is doing a service to everybody by telling them, look, here are the money changers, that they're evil. Stay away from them. And he sees it in the temple. He puts that together and shows people how corrupt religion can be. This is why he takes people. I believe that the whole allegory to it was how to circumnavigate through Rome and not be out of Rome. In other words, you could be in Rome or traveling through Rome without being of Rome. And once you become a Roman citizen, you're no longer free. You may be free you might have people underneath of you that you're more free than, but you're still obligated. Well, what obligates us here in America? A bunch of guys got together and said, through the consent of the governed, we're going to build a government. Okay.
System.
All right. That's thanks for that, guys. Don't think that you really need to regulate commerce.
But the problem is that's not applicable anymore.
No, it's not.
That's no longer applicable.
Right, they're moving towards
communitarian. We are now corporate citizens. We are corporate citizens under the corporate control, and we have to revert to being national aliens or alien nationals, whichever, state citizens.
It's the same thing as Rome.
And until we do that, we have no power. We are slaves, and why not accept our slavery if you want that?
Well, I'll never accept slavery. Just hell no.
Well, look at your driver's license and your checking account. It's all capital letters. You're already a slave, a corporate slave.
Don't have one.
If that's the case, then you have a chance of being one of the people. But how many people can actually say that?
Not many. I've several cases in court in New Jersey with an expired. I had one at one point, but I allowed it to expire. And I sent a letter to DMV. Thank you very much for your services, but thank you. I'm no longer interested. You don't have my consent to contract with me. And I just left it at that. Sometimes it can give you a couple bumps. But the couple times that I was given a ticket in New Jersey, and it wasn't any major thing, just, you know, driving without a license or whatever, I would go into court, and I'd ask to be, you know, towards the last to be seen. Which is an odd request, and they'll always fulfill that one. You know. They don't care. And I go up in front of the judge, and I just throw them down one case law after case law after case law after case law. Your Honor, travel upon the open roads. It's not a privilege to be given or granted or decided upon by a state. You have the right to that is the essential basis of freedom. Without that, you have none, literally none. If I have to ask the state for permission to move, who was it again where did they derive their power again from? Well, if it's from us, how do they do that? Nobody can answer that question. Oh, well, we need this for the... I didn't ask what we needed. Those who give up a little tiny bit of liberty for the purchase of any form of security will end up getting neither. They also deserve neither. Very wise.
Yeah, that's very well said, and that's exactly the point. If we have to get a license from the state, we aren't free. Basically, we're just corporate employees.
Saying we never had
basically,
the right.
What we want to be is independent, free states, citizens. And when we do that, we are no longer obligated to get licenses and permissions and whatever, because that's an inalienable right. It's given to humans because they are able to function and have their own self-reliant control. And that's what we've lost. We're no longer self-reliant. We're no longer seeking freedom. We're choosing to be slaves, and we've got to bring that out to the mass of people, that to take away the power of the people that are controlling us, we have to become independent, free. And yes, there's going to be bumps in the road. I've subjected myself to a lot of those bumps. But when I'm asked why I do this stuff, I say, freedom isn't free unless you actually sacrifice for it. And you have to make those sacrifices and take whatever comes your way. Otherwise, you know, you might as well just relent and become a slave and accept everything and just go along for the fringe benefits of being a slave and call it off.
Yeah, I know. I'm always caught at this point because, I mean, I have the testicular fortitude, if you want to call it that, to throw myself into harm's way for others. I had nothing to gain going to Bundy's. I mean, it's how many thousand miles away, and it's a ranch in the middle of Nevada. I'm in New Jersey at the time. But I saw that heavy militarized force being brought down on a ranching family, and I said, you know, no. If this is it, then let it be here. Because someday I would like my son to actually live and experience a free country. I had the remnants of what it felt like through propaganda, at least in your mind and heart. Now, not that we were free 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, not saying that, but we were oblivious to the fact that we were enslaved, or at least I was as a young man. It was my father that woke me up. Now, my father was, of course, a judge, and he knew a lot. Lot more than most people do. And he spoon-fed me some of this stuff. He swore there was going to be a revolution any time. He had guns, ammunition, gold, silver, all buried in a crawl space, in a hidden spot that you had to go through a special door. He had really good carpenters to get to. He said, you know, if the American people ever find out what's been done, then blood's going to run in the streets. Well, what's been done? Everything that you know is a lie. And for deists, like you say, these fellows, they're deists. Even the deists among our founding fathers realized that we had to have our tenets, our staple of law, the supreme law, it had to be based upon the Christian faith, because that's what was, you know, that's what they created, a Christian republic. The deists didn't have any problem with that. They didn't care whether you believed, you didn't believe, whatever it was. They just wanted a moral people. They knew that the only way to maintain any kind of success in building a republic, you had to have a moral people. Just look at Rome and Greece, how they fell. Debauchery, basically socialism. They gave out food until there was no more left. And then, you know, the collapse. And it happens and happens and happens and happens. Larkin, Texas, is he with us still? I just saw that.
I believe so.
Oh, get him on. Get him on. Thank you for your call, brother. I got to get
to you. Let me make one more comment before Lark comes on. I know Lark.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, if you study the history, there are no more Jews. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem, wiped them out, and what was left is went to Masada. They were wiped out. So this Khazarian mob is not Khazarian Jews. Mob, they're using the Jew title to get power. Ashkenazi. We've got to walk away from that. Go ahead, Lark. Yeah. Take it over.
Lark in Texas. I'm sorry. I just saw you, brother.
Oh, that's cool. Can What's you hear me okay? On, Lark?
What's that, Lark? Okay? Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say, you know, the way the behaviorist, the sociologist, the social scientist, quote unquote, define it today, they use a term called socioeconomics, which was coined by Mikhail Gorbachev and Amitai Etzioni.
Yes.
And what that means to say is that you're not what you think and you're not what you say, but you are what you do. They see, because they view us like ants in a terrarium. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that even Charlotte Iserby has promoted the work of Robin Eubanks and gave a glowing review. Somebody submitted a glowing review at her blog, deliberatedumbingdown.blogspot.com. Robin Eubanks wrote Credential to Destroy, How and Why Education Became a Weapon. And yes, she does cite, you know, she's a historian. She's also a securities attorney. She has three children, you know, in their, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Yes.
And she's very interested in education policy. But even Robin knows that it's not communism today. It's communitarianism.
Well, I agree with you. I totally agree with you on that. However, I do believe that there are a few more isms that are kind of stuck around the edges. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me get it out here, and I'll jump off. Because
go ahead.
This is an important point. You can be a red-blooded, flag-waving, you know, totally believe in capitalist free entrepreneurship and all of that. Yep. That still does not mean that you're not a communitarian by their definition.
That's true.
At the end of the day, a communitarian is a techno slave. He's a slave to language, he's a slave to money, and he's a slave to man-made contrived artifices or devices.
Yep.
And this is a slave, definition of a slave. Communitarians do not believe that anybody can own property. Because, in fact, they are the property of another or others.
Euphemistic.
Because we live in a dictatorship of the community. You cannot have rights that
are accompanied by another hour. Lars, yeah, Mark, I wish I had another hour, bro. We could really dig into this. And, folks, we're coming back. We'll see you next time. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media. Tom and Chris are out.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.